Hagley has a wonderful collection of American patent models that we received from the Rothschild family of New York in 2015. And this collection of over 4,000 models, when added to Hagley's collection that was already approaching 1,000 at that point, gave us 5,000 of these incredible artifacts. And they're really extraordinary, one-of-a-kind creations. The story of the patent model is that in the 19th century in this country, if you wanted to patent your invention, you wanted to secure intellectual property rights to your invention, you had to submit a description of your invention to the patent office in Washington, and you had to prepare some drawings, but you also had to create a scale model of your invention, and that's what patent models are.
So this goes back a long, long way.
Absolutely. Really to 1790. This was the patent system as we know it today, and the patent model requirement was really the brainchild of Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson. And in fact, in the early days of the Republic, when the models and the applications for patent protection were submitted, it was Thomas Jefferson himself, as Secretary of State, who was kind of doing double duty as the patent model and patent application evaluator. That didn't last forever, but that was how it was in the early days when our government wasn't so large.
Tell me, does each patent model really tell a story of its own?
It does. What's fascinating about these patent models is that they weren't just created by big-name famous inventors. In other words, it wasn't just the Edisons and the Alexander Graham Bells who were submitting patent models. It was really people from every walk of life representing every kind of industry, every branch of business, every interest you can think of across the United States. And people you've heard of, many, many people you've never heard of. And so it was a broad range of contributions, really examples of just people looking at the world around them, seeing a problem, thinking, I could do that better, and coming up with a new invention, a kind of a better mousetrap, if you would, for improving on something that already existed. And then they would get the idea that maybe I should make some money off of this, and then they would apply for patent protection. This is a very popular idea in 19th century America, when really everybody could see themselves as a potential inventor.
So Hagley Museum and Library basically announcing that it's partnering with a university in Beijing to mount a path-breaking exhibition in China this year. Let's talk about the fact that the U.S. patent models are going to be displayed in four cities starting this month.
That's right. Yeah, this kind of exhibition has never happened. And by that I mean where a U.S. history museum has taken its own collection and traveled it to China and then partnered with a Chinese institution to, in a sense, co-create, or as we would say, co-curate a show. This has not happened before. So it's certainly path-breaking in that sense. But what's really wonderful about this is the exposure this unique collection is going to get. As you mentioned, it's going to several cities in China. We're starting in Beijing at Tsinghua University. Tsinghua is kind of China's MIT, if you would, very science and engineering focused. So it'll be in Beijing first at Tsinghua, and then it will travel to Shanghai, and then to Shenzhen, which is south near Hong Kong, and then to Wuhan. And these are all, you know, small towns of 20 million people or more. And so the expected audience, when you add all the venues together, is projected to go over 1 million people.
Are you traveling with the exhibit to kick it off, if you will?
We're not traveling to kick it off, although we'll be there soon. The exhibition actually just opened on March 27th in Beijing. And I'll be going over at the end of April for a formal opening ceremony. And in fact, because the show is about these fantastic artifacts that are focused on invention and on intellectual property, preserving intellectual property, the U.S. government and the Chinese government have taken a strong interest in the show. And so one of our opening receptions will be at the home, the residence of the U.S. ambassador, Ambassador Branstad, to China, and we'll be doing lectures and symposia at the American Embassy in Beijing, as well as events at Tsinghua University. So it's going to open to great fanfare in April at these events, and going to attract a lot of media attention in China as a consequence.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that something of this nature has never happened before. Who is responsible? Can you take that credit for making it happen now?
I really can't, but I want to give credit where it's due. The brief story is that I was giving a lecture on the patent models at the Smithsonian, the other institution that has a nice collection of these artifacts. And a person came up to me at the end of my lecture and said, "You really must travel these to China. The Chinese would be fascinated by the story of American invention history." And this person, her name is Rose Chen, had a wonderful connection to China's Minister of Culture to the United States. And so I ended up having an audience, if you would, at the Chinese Embassy in Washington. And the next thing I knew, some phone calls had been made back to the Foreign Ministry in Beijing, and we had an exhibition within a week. And I can tell you, in my business, it doesn't happen like that very often. This was a special circumstance.
David, talk about the sponsors a little bit. We don't want to forget about them.
Well, we've got some wonderful sponsors who I think see the potential in this show to tell a story about American innovation, past and present, and to share a story about the importance of strong intellectual property laws in the U.S., in China, and around the world. And several foundations have supported this work, including a local one, the Carpenter Foundation, but also several businesses. Local businesses, Delaware businesses that do a lot of work in China. I'm thinking specifically of the InterDigital Corporation and also CSC. Both of those organizations have a strong interest in developing and promoting their products, their intellectual property in China, and so they're on board to help us share this terrific message.
All right, and also Hagley will be incorporating portions of the Spirit of Invention exhibition into a comprehensive exhibition slated to open in the museum's visitor center in Wilmington in 2020. Talk about that.
That's right. So we've started, ironically enough, we've started on the road with this show, but we will eventually bring it home. And when we do, we will try to do it up big. We will devote significant part of our Henry Clay Mill, our visitor center at the front of the Hagley property, to a permanent display of these models beginning in the fall of 2020. And you will, at that time, you'll be able to come to our visitor center and see hundreds of these models on display, each, as you pointed out earlier, with a really interesting story to tell. There will be interactive opportunities for the visitors to sort of get immersed in a particular story, a particular model. And we're just incredibly excited to be partnering with the Chinese on that as well. So we've co-curated the show that is opening in China, and in turn, they will take some of the expertise they've developed with us, and they will help us create this show at Hagley. And again, that's something that's never happened before. An American museum, Chinese museum, partnering on a show on American history here on U.S. soil.
A lot of firsts going on here.
A lot of firsts.
Hey, David, as executive director of Hagley, and for people listening who may be visiting Delaware, give us some background about Hagley.
Well, Hagley really tells the story of American business history, American industrial history. We sit on 240 gorgeous acres of the Brandywine Creek, and we tell our core story here is really the story of the DuPont Company and its 200-year history of manufacturing on this site. And we have wonderful old vintage mill buildings and mill races and milling machinery that help us tell the story of how water power was used in the 19th century to create an industrial economy. But what we've been doing in recent years is building on that original legacy, and now we're adding to it the history of invention, broadly speaking. A history that cuts across the United States. And that history is really embodied in this incredible patent model collection. And so we've got what one might call the ultimate case history in American innovation in the DuPont Company, but now we've got many thousands of other stories of invention, American invention, to tell on this property, and that's going to be a big focus for us going forward.
Did we leave anything out about the U.S. patent model collection traveling to China? Anything else you want want people to know about?
Well, I think the other thing I'm particularly excited about, you mentioned, Hagley and what we have going on in our neighborhood here in Delaware. One of, I think, the really nice byproducts of this show in China is that the Chinese are exhibiting not just our patent models and not just telling stories of American invention, but they're also really telling the Hagley story. We have a wonderful video that has accompanied the exhibition that features Senator Coons telling stories about both the American IP system as well as stories about Hagley and what happened here 100 years ago. And our great hope in this is that by telling the story about Hagley and, more broadly speaking, the other cultural institutions in the Brandywine Valley, that we can attract many more Chinese tourists to this neck of the woods. And we're already starting to see that happen. I think after that show, we'll see even more visitors from China come to our area. And that can really only be good for Greater Wilmington and Delaware as a whole.